Let the buyer beware has long been a watchword, and with good reason.
Well, you might say order up some coffee beans and be alarmed to find when you got them home that a good two-thirds of it might consist of dried peas instead of coffee beans. You might get milk. It would contain water, be watered down, but it would be bulked up again with things like plaster of Paris or flour or sheep's brains, most infamously.
Don't worry, this is not a new round of tainted products from China. It's a list of domestic goods Americans might have bought a century and a half ago. Back then, our country was notorious for tainted food, shoddy merchandise, and intellectual piracy. The voice you heard listing those grocery store horrors is Stephen Mim, a professor of American history at the University of Georgia.
You'd find these things right here in the United States. Any store might contain things that were really kind of low quality, that had been adulterated, that had been counterfeited. It was a time when, as capitalism really kind of took off in this country, the sort of existing means of regulating it was oftentimes not up to the task. And so people didn't necessarily have something like the FDA they could go to or to any of the other federal agencies that now today ensure, or at least we hope ensure, a certain degree of quality of our goods.
What other kinds of unscrupulous business practices were going on in the 19th century?
It's interesting. This is a time when we say making money, it had a very literal as well as a figurative meaning, in that the money supply originated not with the federal government but with private banks that printed their own money. And counterfeiters at this time had a field day counterfeiting this money and adding, you know, spurious currency into the monetary system. It was a time when there was a tremendous amount of commercial fraud, whether that was in stocks, land speculation.
What about intellectual piracy back then? Were they selling black market copies of Little Women on street corners?
Well, not so much American authors. They were protected. It was the foreign authors who were really taking it on the chin. Charles Dickens, when he showed up to visit the United States in 1842, was shocked to find that essentially American publishers were freely pirating his books. And he was outraged about this when he raised this issue with his American hosts. They just shrugged their shoulders and sort of looked at him like, what was wrong with this? You know, this is what we do here. We pirate things, and we don't necessarily compensate you for it. It was really an era that is very much analogous, obviously, to China today. It was an era that seems very foreign to us, but in many respects lies at the foundation of our own country's economic development.
What was going on? Why was counterfeiting so rampant during that time in America?
Counterfeiting seems to flourish, and fraud seems to flourish at times when capitalism and economic growth is outpacing the ability of a society to control it. What's interesting, though, in some respects, is all this counterfeiting is helping to propel the economic growth as well. Counterfeit money can do the job just as well as genuine money in underwriting economic growth under the right circumstances. And so you could even argue that America's economic growth at certain points in the 19th century was fueled in no small part by a lot of fraud and a lot of counterfeiting.
How did America's trade partners react?
They were increasingly angry, especially as they began to suffer from bad American products. It was one thing for Americans to poison themselves. It was altogether another thing for American pork to show up in, say, Germany in the 1870s carrying trichinosis. And many European countries would slap embargoes or essentially slap boycotts on American products. They also were very fond of lecturing the United States, and Charles Dickens was only one of many European authors who did this, who was trying to get the Americans to adopt an international copyright law, which they finally did in 1891. It was a little too late to help Charles Dickens, but a lot of lecturing, some boycotts, trade threats, retaliation, that helped, but it took a long time for America to work out its kinks in its system.
Stephen Mim is an assistant professor of American history at the University of Georgia. His new book is A Nation of Counterfeiters. Thank you for talking with us.
Thank you.